Okay, welcome back. Now that we have an understanding of what ADF is and a little bit of background knowledge of the Azure Data Factory, let's start diving into a little bit of what do we consider the Azure Data Factory process. It consists of a number of steps, and the very first one is define the architecture. And simply what that means is identify your objectives and the high-level flow that you want your data to go through. So you know you have some data, and you know you need to get access to it and move it through your system. Before you even get started building and implementing anything, make sure you know where all that data is to begin with and where you want it to end up with at the end. And what are the steps in between there that you want to manipulate your data, or that you want to move and combine your data? What are those objectives and that entire flow going through? The second step here is you need to actually create the data factory. So after you've identified your architecture, then you need to create your data factory. And there's a number of different tools you can use to create your data factory. We'll talk about those in just a minute. After you've created your data factory, then you need to create your linked services. And remember, these are connections to your data and to other compute services. And it makes sense that you would create your linked service first, because after you've created your linked services, then you create your data sets, which are essentially your inputs and your outputs. And each data set must be related to a linked service. So a data set is a part of a linked service. So in the example of a table could be a data set, but it is a part of a database, whereas a database is specified as a linked service. So that's how data sets and linked services are related. After you have your linked services and your data sets created, then you need to start creating pipelines. And this pipeline is where you define what activities you have and what elements and what data sets are going to be a part of each activity, what you're going to bring in for data and what you're going to push out as output, and what actual activity are you going to do. Are you going to copy data? Are you going to run a stored procedure? Are you going to do something else? That's where you'll define the pipeline. After you've defined your pipeline, the final step is the monitoring and managing. So once you have ADF running, you can schedule it to run on given intervals. And you need to monitor that. And there are ways you can set up alerts and you can keep track of metrics. So that is the six steps of the ADF process that we like to talk about and we like to specify. Let's take another look at those. Here's more of a visual picture of the ADF process. First, you define your architectures. Then you create your data factories. Then you create some linked services. Then you create your data sets that reference those linked services. Then you create a pipeline, which consists of one or more activities. And finally, at the end, you want to monitor and manage what's going on with your Azure Data Factory. So getting a little deeper into what is going on in the first step of the Azure Data Factory process, it's the design process. Make sure you define your data sources. Know exactly where they are, whether that's URLs that you need, whether that's somewhere in a file system. Make sure you know what they are. Then make sure you know what your processing requirements are. Is it enough to just run a stored procedure, or do we need to run a Hive query, or do we need to write some custom C# code to perform our manipulations? What is it that we need to do? And then where do we want to put stuff at the end? Do we want to store everything in a database so that we can run it against Power BI and pull information out there? Do we want to write anything to Azure Storage, because it's fairly simple to use Azure Storage and it's cheap? I mean, these are questions that you have to wrestle with and deal with before you start building your Azure Data Factory. And also at the end, what do we want to manage? Or how do we want to manage this, and what specifically needs to be monitored? Here's an example of walking through. So in the case of customer churn, And when I say customer churn, this is what I mean. All businesses have to deal with gaining new customers and losing former customers. And when you lose former customers, that is called customer churn. So hopefully as a business, you're trying to minimize the amount of customer churn you have. And in the case of this scenario, what we're dealing with is we're trying to link what type of customer support calls are associated with customer churn. So we're a business and we collect customer support call information when people call in and either complain or tell us we're doing a great job or just have questions on their products. And as a company, this company is trying to figure out, is there a relationship between customers who call in for support and customers who leave? So can we predict based on a specific number of calls or a specific type of calls coming in, can we predict whether that customer has a high probability of leaving or not? So here's what this might look like if you were to use Azure Data Factory and other components within the Cortana Intelligence Suite. You naturally have a couple of data sources. So this is part of the design phase. What do we have for input data sources here? Well, we've got call log files. So we have information about all these calls that are coming in, which customer called, what did they ask with for questions, did their problem get solved or not. So we have information about the calls. And then we also have a customer table that has purchase history and customer demographic information, just a lot of information about the customer. What do we want to do with that first? Well, ideally, it would be great if we could pull that information and put it right into Azure Blob Storage. Well, we can here. And we're going to consider our customer table as a data set and our call log files as a data set. And the next thing that you need to do after you've ingested those and put those into Azure Blob Storage, then maybe you want to run a Hive query on those. Maybe we have a lot of customer data and we have a lot of call log files. We want to run a Hive query to transform and combine that data into a little bit easier format for us to deal with. So we want it to be in a single customer call details file. And we're going to write that file back out to Azure Blob Storage. Then what we're going to want to do next, we're going to want to use Azure Machine Learning to analyze that. And we want it to help us predict what customers are likely to churn. So after we run it through the Azure Machine Learning, at the end, we're going to come out with a file that specifies which customers are most likely going to leave based on their call history. And finally, at the end, after we've identified those customers, we just want to move the customers that are likely to churn into an Azure database so that we can run some queries in Power BI, or we can create some reports in Power BI to display those. So this is an example of when we talk about designing for your Azure Data Factory, this is what it would look like. Clearly identify what are your input data sources, what is your output goal, and what do you think needs to happen in the middle? That brings us into our that's a more complicated scenario of an Azure Data Factory. What we want to talk about here is more of a simpler, more basic Azure Data Factory. And it does just a couple of things. It has data stored in Azure Blob Storage, and we're going to pull that data out of Azure Blob Storage. We're going to run a pipeline that consists of one activity. It's a Hive activity. And after that Hive activity is completed, we're going to push the results back out to Azure Blob Storage again. And the Hive activity in there is going to do some transformations of those web logs. It's going to combine those together and put everything in a single Azure output, Azure Blob Storage for output. So that's a very simple example of Azure Data Factory. The next step is creating your Azure Data Factory. There are a couple of different ways you can create your Azure Data Factory. The first is you can use the portal. That would be at azure.com. You can log in, you can create, you can follow the portal. There are blades and menus you can follow to create an Azure Data Factory. You can also use PowerShell if you like to script things up. It makes it super simple. If you want to continue redoing the same thing again, if you want to automate the process, PowerShell is really great for that. You can also use Visual Studio if you're a former developer or you still like to hang out in Visual Studio. You can create Azure Data Factories in Visual Studio as well. So there's a number of different places you can use to create the data factories. Next, you need to create that link service. And this is a connection to data or a connection to a compute resource. Sometimes we term the data as a data store. There are a number of data options that you can use to connect to for your linked service. So you have blobs, you have tables, you have a SQL database, a data warehouse, DocumentDB. I don't want to really read the whole list, but there's a whole number of data sources you can use to connect to. There's also a number of different compute activities you can have as well. So you can run Hive, you can run Pig, you can run stored procedures. There's machine learning activities in there that you can run. You can run some data lake analytics with USQL. You can even write .NET. You can even write your own custom .NET code to run as an activity. So after you've created your link services, then you need to create a data set. And this is just a reference or a pointer to actual specific data. And when you're creating Azure Data Factories, you'll use a lot of JSON code to clearly specify exactly what is going on here. And here's an example of what the JSON code looks like for a data set. So at the very top, you have a name property. And there you just specify the name of your data set. And then you can specify different types of data sets. So it can be a blob file. I'll show you later in the demo what those types look like. And there's a number of other properties. We'll get into this a little bit more when we go through a demo a little later. The next one is create pipelines, which is, this is a logical grouping of your activities. And it looks like this. You can name your pipeline, and then inside your JSON, you'll notice there's activities and there are brackets around it. That means you can have a large listing of activities. You can have one or more activities listed in there. And there's a start date and an end date, which specifies when do you want things to begin and when do you want things to end, which makes sense. So this takes us to our demo. I will briefly demo a little bit of an Azure data, a very simple Azure data factory in the next video. So I hope you'll look forward and watch that one. Thank you.